This is Mark Roberts. I am recording an oral history with Mr. Jim Rosendahl. Tell me a little bit about yourself, just your background growing up.
I was raised on a farm, graduated and got a job at the Magnavox Company in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then found out I was going to be drafted. And so rather than go on to whatever else, I just stayed around the house and worked for the Kroger Company butchering. And then in 1952, I was drafted and went into the military September the 18th, 1952. They immediately, I was taken to Camp Pickett, Virginia, for basic training, and took 16 weeks of basic training, and then not only me, but 21 of us was pulled out of the the basic training was over, and all those people left and went back to visit their parents, and then they were coming back, but we were kept there to take a survivor course, and that was 16 weeks. And then there was this was a medical company. So we were there for just 8 weeks for a course. The medical course takes in a lot of things. And from there, after that, we went to, I was taken to Fort Lewis, Washington, where there was a large group of soldiers waiting to be placed overseas. And I boarded the WE. We were there about 3 weeks. But anyway, we boarded the USS Adder, which was a merchant marine boat that was half worn out before I ever saw it, had a single engine, and 2,500 soldiers. And we headed for Japan, and we ran into a typhoon, and they had to slow the boat down. So because when it would pull up and back, the propeller would spin so fast, they were afraid that it would burn it out. So we teetered for 4 or 5 days, and everybody was sick. Everybody was sick. And they wouldn't let us out, because if you'd let it out, the water was coming in. So we just had to let it be. I lose 17 pounds.
Wow.
And from there, boarded a bigger ship after 2 nights of no sleep and whatever, but we boarded a large two-stacker. And this one had like 5,000 on it, but it went across there just like, I don't know, it was 2 nights or 3 nights. We were on Korea. Anyway, we landed in Korea.
Where at?
Busan.
Busan.
And we then were told we would be sent to wherever they were going to send us. In other words, what group we were going to go with, or what, etc. Okay, I went to the medical. The company was a battalion aid station. And I use this term attached because we were a company by ourselves, but the battalion commanders had a lot of say-so about us, but we were attached. And when I first got there, my first job, before I was still in the medical company, for some reason or other, they had me driving a truck hauling gasoline in a group of, and I realized that that wasn't too good. So I talked to, at that time, our company commander, and he says, I'll get you off of there. He said, you need to be in the aid station. You've got all that behind you and all this, you know, you've been schooled. Sure enough. So my first job was, my very first job, which is right in this magazine, a book right here, I was told that I was needed with four other people, just like three other people like myself, to load the wounded onto the helicopters, because we were a battalion aid station, not MASH, but we were sending them back to MASH. And anyway, so I was a litter bearer. And time went on until we had a company commander, which was a surgeon, a doctor, the only doctor there, asked me to help in the inside. So I was inside and doing things, and we had a terrible group of people that came in. It was just phenomenal how bad they were shot up, and everybody was very busy. Well, anyway, Dr. Rodriguez came out and said, okay, Jim, where's the next one? Who's the next one? I said, Doc, I can't make that decision, who's going to live or die. I said, you decide, and then I'll, whatever you want me to do. He said, well, you go inside then and shoot them up. That means with morphine, really. We had morphine. And a lot of other things.
Like what?
Well, we took care of just a lot of people. That's all I can tell you. It was only 55 years ago, and it's a little difficult to say, but first of all, I didn't do that all that long, but I was inside with the doctor. And we had other people like myself there, too. I wasn't the only one. I mean, there were other litter, there were a lot of other people. But then we, after that era.
Where was that at?
Well, it was, that's hard for me to tell you. If I had, even with a map. We moved the battalion aid station at least four times.
Oh, okay.
So I'll get you back on track here on the next one. The first one, the first move that I had was we moved because they were too close. The original one was too close to the main fire zone, and we moved down the road a piece, so to speak,
and it wasn't long and it wasn't right, and I could probably explain it better, but it was at a place where they could still drop a mortar on you. Now, one thing about the Koreans, they did, the North Koreans, the reason that that MASH hospital, I'm getting off a little bit, but the MASH hospital was 20 miles away. Well, why only 20 miles? Because they didn't have any instruments. I mean, they didn't have any guns or anything that would shoot that far. So they were free. Now, we, every once in a while, we'd get a mortar round very, very close. I didn't instigate it all, but I told the company commander, I says, we need to move this thing behind this island, this big hill over here, about a mile away, and it was probably a mile high, behind it, on the leeward side, and find some place to hide the tents that we're putting up. And so anyway, we did that. Then I'm going on to the next move because it got too close there. Then we went on, we were called up because of the 38th parallel, which demilitarized zone, and we were, what would I say, we were stymied. In other words, we went over to, they moved us over fairly close to the 38th parallel. And that would have been in about May of 53, approximately May, and maybe a little of June, because we were there also when the truce was signed. And I would have bet all the money that I ever would make in my lifetime that they would quit shooting overnight. I would have bet anything. We were in, not just me now, we were in foxholes, water up to our knees, had been in and out of the foxhole day and night. As the attacks would come close, and then they'd go away, and then they'd come close. Well, anyway, we were all awake on that evening, and they quit. Hmm. And I would never believe it, but you could, if you could find somebody as old as I am who was up there, he'd tell you the same thing. Hmm. Then later on, after that, there was a little skirmish going on that they would try to break through and come over, and then we would attack. I mean, our people would attack. But there's a few things that the number one thing that I was afraid of would be well, what would I say? I'm trying to think. There were several people that was hurt real bad, and what you're going to tell their parents and all, you know, we were supposed to write letters at times, and that was a tough one. And then I had a good friend that died. He stepped on a bouncing Betsy, or Betty, bouncing Betsy, what do you call it? And it what it does, it shoots up, the spring loosens. Have you been in the military?
No.
Okay.
But I've heard of it.
It shoots up and then explodes. And it killed him, I would assume, instantly. But
Well, I wouldn't want to be captured. I wouldn't want to be a war. That would be a terrible, terrible situation to be captured, especially with the Koreans. I mean, they didn't have anything to do anything with. You just lay there and die, would be my guess. Okay, I'll give you now some little off things.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask what it was like just living over there.
Pardon?
Just being there during the war. Oh. Day-to-day life.
I'll tell you, okay, day-to-day life, we were up there about a month before the 27th of July, and it was a booger. I mean, everybody was trying to get all the real estate they could get. But all the fighting was at night because they would break through at night to try to get more ground and set up, the enemy would. Mm-hmm. So we'd go out and get them and then have a shootout and then go back home. Well, anyway, I have a picture, I think so, of me and another guy sitting around on my cot playing poker. We heard the awfulest noise we'd ever heard in our lifetime. We thought maybe that it was an atomic bomb. We did not know. Hmm. Guess what it was?
What?
The first jet fighter airplane I ever heard or saw in my life. And we're in a valley. Our tents and all was in a valley. And it was a perfect place for an airplane to come down through there and strafe us. I mean, it would be nothing. They didn't have many airplanes. The enemy didn't have. I didn't see 10 airplanes all the time I was over there that was the enemy's.
Hmm.
Didn't have any. Anyways, that Shooting Star was the first one they made. It had a straight wing. It wasn't even like this hardly.
Yeah, yeah.
But that thing made the noise. So we never heard anything like that. We've heard those tanks are running, and you've heard them. And it scared us. We thought that this was it until we got our... And then... In my magazine here that I was showing Sarah, there are some pictures of it. But it was, and I noticed when I first moved to Louisville, out at the University of Louisville, they had one of those stripped on a pedestal out in their whatever. It was where everybody could see it on the street. I can't tell you. There wasn't anything else around it. I know that.
Hmm.
And I used to go by it because I lived there in Louisville, right? But they've taken it down since. But it was one of those airplanes. I consider myself very, very fortunate because we had a lot of people. Not our people, not many of them were killed, but or even wounded. But we were out on the hill. I've been out on the hill with the military. I mean, you know, with thousand soldiers back and forth, counting both sides. And
so you mainly processed the wounded. They were brought in by helicopter and.
Well, I was out up on the hill. No, okay. I was not there. I left that out a little bit, but I've been up on the hill, we called it. I never ran across during my time up on the hill, I never ran across a person that was killed or really, really injured bad. For some reason or other, we had a few, you know. One thing about that morphine, and I have it in here, but I'd be out there and give a morphine to a person that may die. I'm not saying may die. But you'd give him two, one on each cheek, or in an area of in 10 minutes, he'd be talking to me and wanting to smoke. That's how strong it was. Mm. And we used to kid each other. You know, we didn't have any idea what it was. We didn't stick each other, try to, I mean, if the soldiers caught on, I'm sure, for after we left. But I would say that at times, people like me, I say me, there's other people though doing the same job I'm doing, so remember that.
Yeah.
I would have 50 to 75 syringes, and it's just like a toothpaste. It's that feels like the tube is like toothpaste. And you pull the top off, you push it in and pinch it as hard as you can. Hold it.
Was it so? It wasn't a needle. It was a.
Was a needle. Well, oh. It was a needle.
Oh,
it
okay.
Went in. Oh yeah, it was a needle. Probably had a thing on it that far, but it had a cap.
Yeah.
And that's what.
So it wasn't a syringe like we're used to seeing.
No. It was. We had a box full of. Box full of fun. But we had no idea that, we knew what morphine was. We never thought about taking it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We never felt, whatever. Let's see.
What'd you do for relief? Did you,
Eric?
Was there any?
Not from May 15th to July the 27th, you made darn clear that your foxhole was clean, and you might have a few things down there where you buried up in the higher, and you always knew where your where it was, but it was the biggest push and the hardest that I'd ever seen or been in. And I was in, matter of fact, I thought I had enough points to come home. We got so many points per month for being under fire. And when you receive 16 points, they would pull you back and let you go on R&R for a couple weeks. And then you would go back further and get other duty. I missed it by, they still wouldn't, I missed it by a month, less than a month. So.
Of getting the 2 weeks?
Yeah, oh, well, I ended up, let's see, let's keep on this subject, and then I want to tell you about a medal that I won, okay?
Okay.
Do you have any questions? Or do you want to end? I'm just repeating what I can remember, and...
That's what it's about.
Well, I wish I'd started on it about a month earlier, but... there's a few things, if you don't mind. I want to look in here a minute because,
okay.
Our company was the 3rd Division, 65th Infantry. Battalion. 56th Infantry Battalion Aid Station. Battalion Aid Station. Aid Station. Stop. Let me get back here a minute. Go ahead.
That was a question I should have asked.
Well, there's a lot of things I should have put in here, too, but I'm just, I'm not trying to... I even got in here. Well, I went from private to the doctor came down and told me, Rosendahl, he said, here's your corporal stripes, but he says, don't sew them on. Just put them in your pocket. He says, you are now acting field first sergeant for the battalion headquarters. Well, he said, because in 30 days you'll be a real sergeant, he said, which I did. I left with field first sergeant of the battalion aid station. We didn't have any 220 people though, like a infantry would have. We had, I'm just going to say 50, plus or minus. This might be interesting, and I'm just, when I returned to the States, they flew us by airplane, or flew me by airplane, and the whole bunch of us at Fort Sheridan, Chicago.
By way of?
Airplane.
Yeah, but...
It stopped, from Korea, or from Japan. We flew from Japan to... we didn't fly by boat. We flew, maybe, I don't know whether we ever landed, but anyway, I ended up at Fort Sheridan. And place was packed. I mean, was just boiling with people. I was walking around, and I was waiting to get my discharge papers. And that line was impossible. And my wife wrote this up a little different than I did, but she says, after leaving Korea, I arrived at Fort Sheridan, Chicago. After looking at my past history, a master sergeant pulled me out of control, out of the crowd of soldiers, and asked me where I lived. I told him my home was Bryan, Ohio. He then asked, he knew it was only about 100 miles away from Chicago. He was a full master sergeant, big old guy. He picked me out of the crowd. I'm telling you, I didn't say one word to anybody about how in the hell do I get out of here. He then asked if I wanted a three. He asked me where I was going. I told him, Brian. He said, ask me if I wanted a 3-day pass to go home. You know my answer. It was Labor Day weekend. I hailed a cab to get to the Greyhound bus station and called my folks. I jumped on the next Greyhound bus, and my parents were there to meet me. I only had a 3-day pass, so had to make plans quickly. My 1948 Plymouth was at my home waiting for me. I then drove back to Chicago and picked up my discharge information. True story.
Huh.
And I went back to try to find him. Why? You know, the place was just... Everybody was coming back like I was. I guess everybody got a pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. But I just stood in line and got my money. I sent all my money to my mother. I think it was $20 a month or something like that. Or maybe a little more. But whatever they owed me, I think I picked up like $800 or something.
What was military pay?
Well, I believe it was $55 a month, I believe. Something like that. $55 a month. Oh, you got extra pay for online, under fire. And that was another $40 or $50. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I'm glad you asked that. Yes, it was.
Okay, you said you were going to tell me about the Bronze Star.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about the Bronze Star. During the final hours of of the ceasefire prior to that. That would be the 26th of July. I'm going to read this because I don't have to read it. We're in a foxhole during the fighting, and it was terrible. And we heard on the radios that all these our soldiers were being killed or hurt or wounded. Just like the military, this sounds like the military. The jeeps were not listed to drive. In other words, no drivers. We had no way of going out in the field. Let's see. I had a close friend that we slept in the same tent and all, and we were in the same foxhole. Hoskins and I decided we're going after him anyway. So, of course, the keys are always in those old jeeps, and we got in the jeep, and the jeeps had four litters, two litters here and two down here for wounded. And what we would do is bring them back to our aid station, and it would be the same old story. If they weren't wounded bad enough, they stayed there. If they were wounded bad enough, they would go back to MASH. Well, we made two trips of wounded people. And to this day, I can't tell you whether one was wounded more than the other one or not. There were just so many things going on and unloaded. And United Press International, after the war, they were everywhere, up and down, trying to look for stories similar to this, only closer. And we were written up and for the Bronze Star, and then we were told that yes, it was approved. And then we forgot about it. Okay. And then it went on and on and on, and I never thought any more about it, and never tried to do anything about it, and I didn't really care about it until I got married. And then she didn't put the pressure on me, but the problem was that in the local paper in Bryan, Ohio, I can show it to you, she's got it here, of it's written up in the Bryan, Ohio Times. Let's see, there's another, but anyway, to make a long story short, I'm sure we know it's in our discharge papers, but we know that it's never been given, and she's had more excuses from the military about they had a fire in St. Louis, burn up a lot of things.
I'm aware of that, yes.
Well, I'm not saying it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that was it.
Yeah.
So it caught fire, you're not going to get it. All right.
They did lose a lot of records.
Yeah. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. I wasn't saying that they didn't have a fire, but anyway. So Carol's still working on it, though, trying to get we get a little more information each time. Now that I'm older, I probably deserve it, but the way I haven't paid any attention to it.
Who was the partner with you on that?
Hoskins.
You remember his full name?
Yeah, Hoskins was his last name.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of his first name. Been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hoskins, I think. Hoskins. Kins. Hoskins. Well, I can't, that's why I didn't put it down there, because I couldn't think of it, really.
Well, I was just...
No, it's a good test. We were buddies, but... And I've lost all track of him. He lived up east, I know that. And we never talked after we got out of the military. Nope, I can't think of it. I'll try my best.
Did you live pretty much all the time on the base? And
pardon?
When you were in Korea, were you on the base all the time? Did you ever get out to the villages or...
After the war, I was there after the war ended.
Okay.
I stayed there. I was there another six or seven months. Oh, yes. Yes, got around. It was pretty nice to get in the Jeep and go down to one of the towns or go into Seoul. Well, another thing they did was, I was told, I'm skipping here, but I was told that they did send me to Japan for R&R, and they associated the Bronze Star with it. I don't know whether that meant anything or not. May have. Hoskins didn't go, and I don't know why or how, but I can remember he didn't go. Maybe he didn't have enough points. See, we had to have points. I think I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that he didn't. But anyway, that's about all I can really think of, and unless there's something you want to ask me, I'm willing to answer. You can ask me anything you want to.
Well, so then you came back. What was it like coming back after the war?
Got you covered here. Leaving Korea and being discharged. Well, okay.
Did you go back?
I returned back to Magnavox, the company.
Live with your parents?
No, I was too mature. And they had moved off the farm because they were and moved into a home in a small city here in Bryan, Ohio. And I mean, my house was full of kids. When I was in Korea, my youngest brother was born, to give you an idea.
Ah.
And I was like 20.
Wow.
And so there were three more there, and so I went back to the Magnavox company, and I drove it a few times and stayed home a few times, and then I moved into the YMCA in Fort Wayne, and I worked there for some time, and I knew my wife. She was a co-op, a person out of high school, that they would go out and work on the job and then go back, and she'd get points for that or whatever. And I was running a printing press. I was running a printing press at Magnavox, and anyway, I could run any kind of printing press there was. And so I was kind of a department head there, which wasn't much. I went to work in overalls and a t-shirt, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the girls all had to come through me to get to their bosses upstairs. We were in the television business, and their bosses upstairs all had to have different types of information to send out to the field, to their people working in the field. And so she started coming down too, and then I started kidding her and all this and that. So I guess I was about 6 or 7 months. I called her up. Yeah, I called her up about that long and asked her if she'd like to go out sometime. This is funny. She says, I could hear her say, "No, I don't think so. And her mother was back there and said, You tell him now that you would like to go out there." I could hear her telling her that. She was saying it soft, so I couldn't hear, but I could hear her. I swear I could. And Carol remembers it. Well, she had just washed her hair, and it wasn't dry, and she didn't have other clothes on, but she got ready. And we've lived together only 55 years. So that must have been a pretty good marriage.
Yeah.
But it was, that was, I can really tell you, I then returned my job at the Magnavox Company in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I met my wife. We did not have a family doctor, so we chose Dr. Aiken, who had been my most recent company commander in Korea. This is after the war ended, though. Dr. Rodriguez was during the war. Company commander, as our general practitioner while we lived in Fort Wayne. Later, I transferred to Greenville, Tennessee. I went to Tennessee and was the sales and service manager. I had that and the IBM department in the back. So I had about 31 people working under me. And then I got smart. I said, if these guys out in the field can make the money they're making, I believe I can do just as well as they can. And so I put in to become a state sales manager. And I got approved by my good friend. He took care of me. He knew what I'd been through, and he said he'd do anything he could. Because I'd worked for him before, then I was drafted, then I worked for him again. So that's how that all worked. We weren't strangers. Mm-hmm. And so this job came up in Indianapolis. Well, I'm getting all ready for bag and baggage to Indianapolis, and come to find out it had been promised to somebody else. And, you know, I was, oh, man, because Indianapolis is only 150 miles from where I was born and raised. So they said, Kentucky is open. And he said, Kentucky, you know, it's a little backward, but he says, they buy television sets there, you know. Well, my wife, she would not have moved someplace, because I had, I'm not bragging. You can turn that thing off right now. I had calls from California, Florida. Well, that was about it, but it had been a good, you know, it would have been a big raise. But after our first child was born, Carol had a lot of problems. And I decided I wasn't going to get any more than 3 or 4 hours away until things got straightened out. Let's see. Oh, I mean, this is something that I knew I should have looked at this a little further. Let's go back, leaving the military.
Yeah.
There was a discharge location in Chicago that you had to go through after you got your money and got you're still not out until you go over there and say, well, I am not going to enlist. You had to write that. They had a great big sheet of paper. Took you an hour. But I was told, now I had, I was a field first sergeant, and with the pay, whatever that was, and I don't remember, But whatever it was, they would, if I enlisted for 4 years, they'd give me $3,500. Now, I don't know whether they got it right away or whether I got it. I would say they wouldn't give it to you right away because maybe you die or decide not you didn't want to stay in the military and they'd take it back away. I don't know. But I guarantee you that that's what it was. And that was like a brand new souped up automobile, man.
Yeah.
That was like, but I didn't take it. The answer was no.
Had enough.
I didn't sleep. I went home. Of course, it was 90. I had 90 days to take my job back. In 90 days,
right.
Regardless who was in front there, get out, let me in, which was good because they had replaced me, but they hired me. Well,
let's see. I've lost my. I'm thinking about something else. What was I saying?
You were talking about had enough of the military and.
Okay. Yeah. And that was it. The $3,500, and my answer was a quick no. No, thank you. And they put pressure on you. I have the papers.
So there was no reserve or?
I have the papers in my other box with everything on it that had to be filled out. I got a copy of the no, but I had it all filled out. No, but. I'd hate to have a blind man in there. He'd probably get. Okay. God's been good to me because of my health and my age. In my opinion, I'll be 78, and my blood pressure's okay. My prostate is, I've always had a little enlarged prostate, but it's been that way for 10 years, and every year the doctor says it's okay. Don't do a whole lot of, drink a little bourbon once in a while, Kentucky bourbon, and have a nice family. I have...
How many kids did you have?
I have two children. I have a daughter in Nashville that married a doctor, OBGYN, and they have two children, a boy and a girl, which we're going there Thanksgiving. My son lives in Louisville, and he has three daughters. And so they come to our house for Christmas all the time. Well, they come all the time, but they're a lot closer.
Yeah.
But I have five grandchildren. And I didn't bring my remote phone. Carol's got hers, but we got their picture on the screen. But let's see. That's about it. that's about it. Oh, I was very fortunate that I don't know how close I ever got to being. I know that those when we went out under fire with the litter jeeps, that the mortars were phenomenal from the enemy. I mean, it was, you wouldn't believe it. And that's as close I ever got to being injured or hurt or whatever. That's the first time.
Never felt in real danger prior to that, or
We felt that the guys out there in the field needed us. I mean, I'm not making this up, that we didn't, you know, when you're 19 years old, you can make a quick decision. And it might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it probably could be wrong. You know what I mean? You think, but when you're 19, and you know, if you've got people out there in the field, they're doing what we did, you know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who they are. Most all of them, you know their name. Maybe you don't, you know, they all don't bunk in the same place, but they're all friends.
A few bad actors, but not many. They usually don't last long. The museum here is going to get one of these. It's my wife really put this all together. I dictated it as best I could, and then she obviously had to check the spelling. She got to the point where she knew all these things about aid station and battalion headquarters and all this stuff. If there's anything else you want to know?
No, just want to hear your story.
Well, that's, you know, it's just hard to...
It's a long time ago,
and... for the most part, it's pretty accurate because I have put in some dates, a few dates, like May of 1953, which about the middle of May, and then we moved the battalion aid station over closer to the 38th parallel, and Well, when I got out of the military, when I went in the military, and on the, when I was over in Japan, I may have put the date. Again, I may not have. I don't know. This is something that it'd probably be worth more to me than it is to the museum, but I think the museum's going to get this. But this is a something that... bet you there isn't very many people have one of those in their drawer. Let me show you. You have to be careful, very careful. This is our 3rd Division. That's their patch. Fort Campbell, Kentucky. It's a, their division, I think. I might not. Anyway, this here, I know you still have that on, but anyway, I have put asterisks on these to read about the summer, fall, 1953, 1st of May to July 27th. We talked about that. The war of the Korean front again erupted into violent action. The fighting stepped up early in the June with the bitters taking place on virtual outpost Harry. And anyway, it goes on and on, telling all about these forces that were
new anywhere's near
right there.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was.
You were Harry.
Yeah. Well, I was on our battalion headquarters. Battalion aid station was there.
Oh, okay.
In that general area, not at Harry.
Right.
Harry's just a name.
Yeah.
And they clung to action, continued until the ceasefire on the 27th of July. And then I'll show you over here is some more. You guys all. Here's really a nice. All this here, early in June. July 14th, while the division process being removed by the 2nd Infantry Division, orders were received to move eastward into the... Well, anyway, you get all this. All this was where mainly I was there. Through the fighting continued along the front until the final minutes prior to the ceasefire. 2200 hours on 27 July 1953, the Chinese advanced no further. The enemy drove in the Kumsan sector that had stopped. It stopped. I mean, the enemy stopped too, which is just unheard of.
Yeah.
So they'd had enough to fight, I guess.
Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Or?
Well, I appreciate the I'm honored that I was ever picked to do anything like this, and I really appreciate it. And it helped us put together something that my children will have. And my wife was, you know, on that one. She said, "Well, if we're going to do this, and we're going to do this," and we did it.
Good. We'll end the tape now.
That's fine.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's see. Here we are filling these cans with water and taking them up on the hill for the soldiers. This is a tanker here.
So there's a picture
with
of it.
The water. And here we're either, I guess we're getting these filled, I'm going to guess.
So there's a picture of a tanker with water bottles in the back of the truck.
That is correct. Yeah. And there's nothing there. Here are some of the tents, the way we camouflaged them, the way best we could, like back here. Let's see, everybody's standing. Oh, well, that's not me there.
It's just people standing in at attention, is that what that is?
Yes, they're having an inspection, or else there's information that...
Their helmets are very shiny.
Now, this is after the war, I can tell, because these tents are all out there in a row.
And a dog.
And we really had some nice... We had all new cots. We had new sleeping bags. We had it all.
That has...
After the war.
46 on the back. So you can tell it's after the war because the ones during the war year were camouflaged back in the hills.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Here's another...
Ambulance.
The back of an ambulance. In the back it says H-17.
We're being up on a hill, look where this tent is, and look where this tent is down here. Half a mile.
Oh, one's up on the hill, and then you can see the other one's back in the back. God, the landscape is just...
And here, look at this one. This is landscape.
Wow, just a big hill. Do you remember why you took this?
Okay. I might be wrong, and I don't know, but it looks like there's a helicopter coming in here, and it's going to land out here. It would be landing way over in here somewhere.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Nothing on the back. These are just
interesting landscape.
Individuals. Yeah.
Do you know who these people are in front of this van?
Yeah, know every one of them.
Oh.
I haven't talked to them in 55 years. Here's on the way home. They're flying me home.
What does that plane
say? How long did it take to get home? Flying thing? Flying Tiger Line?
A long time. We flew to Japan. And we had to fly, I'm sure, to stop to get fuel, but they flew us home. It was a long, long ride. Here's a helicopter now coming in the land, to take up wounded.
See all the dust getting kicked up. Mm-hmm. So this was like a medevac helicopter?
Yes. This is another one.
Oh,
see him coming in here?
Yeah, he's very small.
These are just my friend there. This is my friend. You can tell this is after the war because I've got some rank there before. Mm-hmm. I was...
It's you on the right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. There, I got a new picture of your Jeep there. Now here I am in what they call a liturgy. We have four racks on the back for two below, and two above for wounded.
Oh, for wounded.
And okay. that's what we carried in that.
Oh.
The vehicle. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I don't know. It's a good question why I took this picture. There was a pretty view, maybe that's all there was. These aren't colored pictures.
It's a very different view. It's still pretty.
Oh, let's look at the row of tents there.
Oh, wow. There's...
Okay, the 10 months, the 9 months that I was there, I was ahead of all this here. I was a field first sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
I was in charge of the troops and putting up tents, taking them down, mm-hmm. telling them what to do and how to do it. I'm not bragging. I never started talking about this until 2 weeks ago, and I just said, I would tell the world. Not really.
How long were you there? Well, I'm sure you talked about it in your interview.
Well, I was there. Well, I was in the military for 2 years, but I was in Korea for approximately. I have that in the book we had. I think March of 53 to September of 54. I got out of the military in 50. I got out right away. I went in on the 19th, on the 18th of September, and got out on the 8th of September, which was the Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So how, when you went in, how did you get put in charge of all this? How much experience did you have?
Okay, I didn't have any experience in this.
Here's the keys.
Well, I'll tell you. Let me get some.
Okay.
Your wife? Where'd she go with the list? The books?
She went in the gift store. But I looked at a lot of them, you can tell me.
Oh, that's
I graduated, when I went to, I was, I was drafted, I wasn't enlisted. I had to go.
You had to go, right?
And five of us in high school all decided we weren't going to enlist, that we would just wait until they get us.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They got us all at the same time. We all got on the train. We all went way up, and I forget what it was. And then they took us to Camp Pickett, Virginia, and that was all a medical company. That's all that was medical.
So you had your medical training.
Yes.
But you just went straight from having this medical training. I saw the certificate. We have a copy of the certificate.
Uh-huh.
So you got your medical training and then were shipped to Korea. And they said, okay, since you've been through this medical training.
Yes. Well, and survival. It was survival that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Survival.
Huh.
It was another 16 weeks of hell.
You were also.
The Marines never had anything over us. I'm telling you.
You were only like 19, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, 19. And, I mean, I was a good soldier. I mean, I'm not bragging. And I got clips at home we didn't even bring of me being the soldier of the month.
Really?
At Camp Pickett, Virginia.
In basic training.
Basic training.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I think with all the other things we had to do to keep alive, they taught us.
Yeah.
And that helped a lot.
Yeah.
And I think being a farm boy and living out on the farm and shooting guns and doing things like that, I had a lot of good sense, because some of these guys, I mean, we had these Seventh Day Adventists.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, don't want to step on anybody's toes, but they wouldn't carry guns.
Right.
They would not carry a gun.
Well, they're pacifists, right? They're conscientious objectors, isn't that?
Yes. Yes.
Which
Seventh Day Adventists.
When you're religious, and don't choose to
test. And but anyway, we. I went over there, and I think what helped the where were they? thinking of the country that they came from.
The Seventh-day Adventists?
No. I had it in the... Well, anyway.
That's okay. I'm sure you've already told this. I'm going to sneak around you.
Yeah. Let's see. What was I going to...
The fact that they put you in charge. You know, after going through basic training, and then you're 19 and you're in charge of this camp.
Yes.
Yeah.
It all worked out. I thank God that at my age and my health, that I'm a very, very lucky person. And I've heard shrapnel go through my tent before.
Oh,
absolutely. And it didn't hit anybody there either, but it could have.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I didn't tell him all that. I tried to stay basic, you know.
Well, the details are fun too.
Yeah, those are good.
Do you know, if you're interested in doing a part two of this, you could always come back. You could always schedule time and come back and do more. Like, you got the basic stuff done. Let's, schedule time and we'll come back and talk about more of the details. More, whatever it is you remember.
Oh, this is what I'm looking for.
Oh.
Here.
Yeah.
Here you go. My wife, I get, I mean, I...
We're going to get to copy that, right? We can...
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have... I see it's typed up, so do you have a copy at home, or do we get to keep this copy, or do you want us just to make copies?
Well, we probably could let me check with my present wife. I'll keep her on her toes.
Are we done talking photographs for right now?
I think so.
It's up to you.
I think let's talk about what we're going to do with them.
You can have them. You do what you think is right with them, but what are you going to do with them?
Well, I mean, that depends on you.
All right.